All right, let's unpack this with a statistic that often surprises even seasoned marketers.
Okay.
Email marketing continues to be one of the absolute highest ROI channels for B2B organizations.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking predictable, measurable results with an average return of, what, $36 to $42 for every single dollar you spend.
Yeah, that's a really powerful return, isn't it?
It absolutely is.
Especially when you think about how long email's been around. While lots of other channels, you know, they fluctuate with trends, algorithm changes, email just remains this consistent powerhouse.
Right.
That kind of return is incredibly hard to beat, really, across any marketing discipline.
It really makes you wonder, doesn't it? So today on the Deep Dive, our mission is, well, to unpack how B2B email marketing pulls off such consistently high returns.
Okay.
And here's where it gets, I think, really interesting for our listeners. We're going to explore how even purchased email lists, which, you know, can be controversial.
Right. They definitely have a reputation.
Exactly. But how, when used strategically, they can significantly expand your reach and generate truly meaningful returns.
So we're diving into the best practices, the critical metrics you need to watch, and some real-world examples that show how these strategies actually work.
And dispelling some common myths along the way, hopefully.
Yeah, definitely. And our insights today, they're coming from a detailed look at recent articles, some in-depth research, and a very specific case study that really zeroes in on the ROI, especially with these often misunderstood purchased lists.
Okay, so why does email still reign supreme in the B2B world? I mean, you've got all these shiny new platforms popping up. How does this, like, decades-old technology keep delivering that 36 to 42 ROI?
Well, I think a key point here is that email offers something pretty unique in today's digital landscape: direct control.
Ah, okay.
It's essentially an owned media channel. Think about it unlike social platforms where your reach is dictated by algorithms you don't control.
Right, that change constantly.
Exactly. With email, you directly control the audience, the message, the timing. It lets you build a permanent asset, you know? Mm. Something with long-term value that those more fleeting platforms just can't really offer.
It's a direct line.
A direct, unfettered line to your prospects and customers. Yeah.
And how does that direct line play out specifically in B2B? Because the sales cycle there is often quite different from consumer sales, isn't it?
That's a really crucial distinction. For B2B marketers, you've usually got much longer sales cycles, right? And the deal values are significantly higher.
Mm-hmm.
So that direct line becomes even more critical. Email turns into this incredibly powerful tool for lead nurturing, for pipeline growth.
Yeah.
It lets you build those relationships over time,
which you need for those bigger deals.
Precisely. And what our sources consistently highlight is that despite how effective it is, many companies are still, well, significantly underutilizing email.
That really does sound like a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Which actually makes me think about that topic you mentioned, the one that often raises eyebrows.
Yeah.
Purchased email lists.
Yeah.
How can something that sounds, well, almost taboo sometimes, actually play a positive role?
It's a fair question, and it's definitely time we demystify them a bit. When they're used correctly, and that's the key part, purchase lists can genuinely expand your reach.
Okay.
And they can significantly speed up that crucial lead acquisition process.
Oh, so.
Well, think about it. They can enable quick entry into totally new markets, right? Letting you reach decision makers who might be completely outside your existing inbound funnel.
People you wouldn't otherwise find easily.
Exactly. And let's be honest, they save a ton of time on data collection and research that your team would otherwise have to do manually.
So speed and reach are the big advantages there.
Mm-hmm.
But you mentioned a caveat earlier, something about quality and compliance being absolutely key.
Yes.
Critically important.
What happens if a list isn't, you know, sourced properly? What's the downside?
Oh, it can be disastrous.
Yeah.
Seriously, you're looking at high bounce rates, which immediately damage your sender reputation.
Right. The email providers notice that. They do. And then you've got potentially serious compliance issues. Think GDPR in Europe or canned spam in the U.S., big fines, legal trouble.
Not good.
Not good at all. And ultimately, even if you avoid the legal stuff, you'll just see really low engagement. It's not just about getting a list. It's absolutely about getting the right quality list.
Okay, so if getting the right list is paramount, what's the playbook? How do you actually use them effectively without falling into those traps?
Right. First and foremost, data hygiene. You absolutely must clean and validate the data you get.
What does that involve, typically?
It means using verification tools, removing invalid or old addresses,
mm-hmm.
basically scrubbing the list. This significantly reduces those bounce rates we talked about,
right?
Which again is crucial for keeping your sender reputation healthy. Think of it like meticulously prepping the soil before you plant anything. You wouldn't just throw seeds on rocky ground.
Makes perfect sense. And then you mentioned something called firmographic enrichment. Can you break that down? What are firmographics?
Sure. Firmographics are basically demographics, but for businesses.
Oh, okay, like company size, industry.
Exactly. Key attributes that define and categorize companies. Industry, company size, location, maybe revenue, number of employees, ownership structure, even growth stage.
Got it.
These data points let you segment and target your outreach with, like, incredible precision.
So give us an example. How does that transform a generic list?
Okay, so instead of just sending an email to a business in the tech sector, firmographics let you target, say, IT directors, specifically at mid-sized healthcare firms located in the Northeast. See the difference?
Wow, yeah, that's much more specific.
And that precision, that's what drastically increases engagement and improves your conversion rates.
Because the message is actually relevant to them.
Exactly, and that naturally leads to a much stronger ROI. It also really supports strategies like account-based marketing, ABM, where you're focusing.
Right, focusing on specific high-value accounts.
Yes. You're targeting efforts on those defined accounts, not just chasing individual leads randomly. Combining firmographics with maybe some behavioral data paints a really comprehensive picture.
Okay, so you've got a clean, enriched list. What are the next critical steps for actually deploying it effectively?
Well, one key thing is always test. Test small segments first before you roll out a big campaign.
Learn before you leap.
Precisely. You learn so much from those initial sends. And don't let email live in a silo. For broader impact, you should absolutely try to combine your email efforts with multi-channel campaigns.
Mm-hmm. Reinforce the message elsewhere.
Right. And we just cannot stress this enough. We've mentioned it, but it bears repeating. Compliance, compliance, compliance.
Absolutely.
You must ensure you are fully compliant with regulations like CAN-SPAM, GDPR, CCPA, all of them. This isn't just a nice to have. It's a legal necessity, non-negotiable.
Okay. That naturally brings us to measuring success. How do we actually know if all this effort, cleaning, enriching, testing is paying off? What are the key metrics, the KPIs, to track, especially with these purchase lists?
Great question. Our sources lay out some really clear ones. First up, the open rate.
Right. Who's actually opening the email?
Exactly. It tells you if your subject line is working, if you're landing in the inbox. Typically, B2B sees maybe 5% to 20%. Your goal obviously is high.
Okay, 5 to 20%. Then what?
Then you look at click-through rate, or CTR. This is usually lower, maybe 1% to 4% in B2B.
And that measures?
How many people actually clicked a link inside your email? A high CTR means your content, your offer, was compelling enough to get that click.
So if you have a good open rate, but a low CTR?
It probably means your subject line worked, but the message inside didn't quite deliver or resonate enough for them to take the next step.
Got it. Next.
Conversion rate. This is where, you know, the rubber meets the road. It's the percentage of people who took the desired action, scheduled a demo, downloaded your white paper, whatever your goal was.
And what's typical there?
For B2B, maybe 0.5% to 2%. It sounds small, maybe. But remember, with high deal values, even a modest conversion rate here can yield significant ROI.
True. What else is critical?
Absolutely critical. Monitor your bounce rate. You need this to be low, ideally under 2%.
Under 2%. Why so low?
Because a high bounce rate is a massive red flag for email providers. It screams low quality list or spammy practices, and it will damage your sender reputation, making it harder for all your emails to get delivered. It often points directly back to poor data quality or lack of validation.
Okay, validate before sending. Makes sense.
Yeah.
And finally, the money metrics.
Right, the financials that show true profitability. You've got cost per lead, CPL. This includes everything list cost, platform fees, creative, labor.
The whole investment
per lead generated. Typically, you might see $2 to $10 here, depending on the list and effort. Goal is low, obviously.
And the other side.
Revenue per lead, RPL. This is how much money each converting lead actually brings in. For B2B, this can be substantial, maybe $500 to $1,200 or even much higher, depending on your business. Goal, high.
Low CPL, high RPL. That's the formula.
That's the formula for profitability, exactly. Together, they tell you if the campaign is actually making money.
Okay, that's a great framework. To really bring this to life, though, you mentioned a real-world example from the sources.
Yeah, it's a really compelling one. Let's dive into that.
Tell us about it. What was the situation?
So we're looking at a mid-sized SaaS company. They specialize in cloud-based document automation,
Okay.
and they wanted to expand into two new sectors, legal and insurance. But their existing internal database, their opt-in list, just didn't have much coverage there.
So they needed a way to jumpstart growth in those new markets.
Exactly. They needed to bridge that gap fairly quickly.
So what did they do? What was the approach?
They decided to test a segmented purchase list. They were careful, though. They acquired about 8,000 contacts, but they specifically filtered them by company size, industry, legal and insurance, obviously, and seniority level to reach the right decision makers.
Smart filtering. And they cleaned it first, I assume.
Oh, yeah. Before launching anything, they meticulously cleaned and enriched that list. We keep saying it, but it's that important.
Right.
Then they launched a three-part email campaign over about 4 weeks. The offer was a workflow audit, specifically tailored to the pain points of legal and insurance firms.
Targeted offer, multi-step approach. And what happened? What were the results?
The results were, frankly, pretty impressive. The campaign achieved a 9.4% open rate,
Which is solid for a purchase list.
very solid, a 2.1% click-through rate, also quite good, and crucially, a 0.8% conversion rate for demo signups.
Okay, 0.8%. So how did that translate into actual business?
Well, from those initial 8,000 contacts, that 0.8% conversion rate led to 56 qualified sales opportunities being created.
56 opportunities. Wow.
And from those opportunities, they ultimately closed 9 deals.
9 new clients.
9 new clients in their target expansion sectors. And the total revenue generated from those deals was $42,000.
$42,000 in revenue. And what was the cost side?
Their total cost for the entire campaign list purchase, enrichment, platform, everything was just $6,800.
Okay, 42K revenue on a $6,800 spend. That's a serious return on investment.
It is indeed. When you calculate it out, the campaign ROI comes in at a staggering 517%.
517%.
Yeah. So this case study, it really demonstrates that, okay, maybe purchase lists have limitations, but with the right hygiene, precise targeting, relevant messaging, and strict compliance, they can absolutely play a meaningful role.
Especially for outbound or market expansion.
Exactly. It helps build those early stage relationships, secures new clients, and it definitely challenges that conventional wisdom that purchase lists just don't work.
It certainly does. Okay, so if you, the listener, are now convinced that purchase lists can work, or at least are worth exploring,
Yeah.
how do you pick a good provider? It sounds like that's a make or break decision.
It absolutely is. It's paramount. You need to ask some very specific questions before you buy anything.
Like what?
Like, do they let you target granularly by firmographics, role, title, industry, job function? Can they actually tell you how the data was sourced and how recently it was verified?
Transparency is key.
Totally. Are the contacts genuinely opt-in? How often is the list updated? And critically, does the provider guarantee compliance with laws like CAN spam, GDPR, CCPA?
California's Privacy Act, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You really want to avoid any provider who's vague about accuracy or tries to sell you some generic one-size-fits-all list. Look for vendors who offer things like suppression matching so you don't email existing customers or opt-outs and enrichment
Yeah,
options.
good advice. So you've done your homework, you've found a reputable provider, you've got this quality list.
Yeah.
How do you like supercharge it? Because just having the list isn't the end game, is it?
No, definitely not. The next step is really integrating it with your marketing automation platform.
Like HubSpot, Marketo, Pardo,
Yeah.
those kinds of systems.
Exactly. Plugging that purchase list data into your automation system is what truly maximizes its power.
How does that work in practice?
Well, it allows you to build sophisticated nurture sequences for these contacts. You can apply lid scoring models based on their engagement, segment them dynamically based on behavior.
So it's not just one blast email.
Not at all. You can create multi-touch workflows, drip sequences that track opens, clicks, maybe website visits if they click through, content engagement, all designed to gradually warm up those colder leads from the purchase list.
So it's about turning that static list into a more dynamic, personalized journey for each prospect over time.
That's a great way to put it. Yes. It enables things like dynamic content personalization, showing different content based on their firmographics or behavior. It ensures timely follow-ups from your sales team when a lead hits a certain score.
Makes sense.
And just from a management perspective, it makes handling opt-outs, updating records, and applying those compliance rules much, much easier. It helps your purchase data work hand in hand with your inbound leads for, full funnel growth.
Okay, we've covered a lot of ground. But before we wrap up, let's hit those common misconceptions head on. There are definitely some persistent myths about purchase lists floating around. Myth number one seems to be, All purchase lists are inherently spammy or non-compliant. Just flat out bad.
Yeah, that's a huge one, and it often stops companies from even considering this channel. But the reality, as our sources and that case study emphasize, is that lists from reputable providers, the ones with transparent data collection practices, can be compliant and can be high performing.
Comes back to due diligence.
It really does. It's all about being diligent in choosing your vendor.
Okay, second big myth. Purchase lists always underperform compared to your organic opt-in lists. Like, they'll never be as good.
Well, it's true that initial engagement metrics, like open rates, might start lower than your super engaged, organically grown list. That's often the case. But the reality is, a properly segmented, enriched, and crucially well-nurtured purchase list can still drive exceptional ROI, especially, like we said, in those outbound heavy B2B industries, or when you need speed and scale.
Scale that organic growth might take years to achieve.
Exactly. They offer a speed and scale that organic growth often just can't match when you're trying to break into new markets quickly.
So let's bring this all together. What does this really mean for you, our listener? Our deep dive today, I think, clearly shows that purchased email lists, when they're handled right, enriched, cleaned, used as part of a broader, thoughtful strategy, they can deliver significant ROI.
Mm-hmm. That case study showed 517%, which is amazing. But some sources even suggest that for B2B companies with higher deal values, longer customer life cycles, if they meticulously integrate these purchase leads into their full funnel nurturing,
the lifetime value kicks in.
Right. The lifetime value generated can push those ROI figures well past maybe even 1500% or more over time.
Wow. So while organic lists are great and often have higher initial engagement,
yeah, they definitely have their place.
Purchase lists offer that critical speed and scale many B2B marketers need, especially for expansion. And at the end of the day, email itself remains the highest ROI channel in B2B marketing.
It really does. Which leads us to a final thought, maybe a provocative question for you to consider.
Okay, leave us with something to think about.
Given that email consistently delivers the highest ROI in B2B, and given that carefully managed purchase lists can offer that crucial speed and scale, what new markets or audiences might you be overlooking right now simply because of outdated assumptions about how to reach them?